I have been in Arizona so long, I don't remember when I first arrived this fall. So we are wearing out Arizona in podcast 1026, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Another campground, this one in the Coronado National Forest or Quartzsite or south of Flagstaff. Does it really matter? Because as a good friend of mine once said, and like to say often very descriptively, it's not done till it's overdone. And I am definitely wearing out Arizona. You guys have heard me talking a lot over the year and years, but especially the last year, about connectivity issues and bitching about connectivity issues. I've solved that problem with privacypost.io. I'll tell you about that in a second, but they also do virtual mail service. We nomads have to get our mail forwarded. People ask me that all the time. They say, how do you get your mail? Well, you have a virtual mail service and you have a home address somewhere where people send your mail. Now, what privacypost.io does is they help you with South Dakota residency and legal business addresses, which can save you a ton in taxes. You see a lot of RVs with South Dakota plates. How do they get them? Well, call privacypost.io or click on their banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. They also do privacy trustee management. And more importantly for me, they do mobile data VPN hardware. I have something called a PepWave in this truck. Anybody can buy a PepWave, but you have to use privacypost.io if you want the different SIM cards and you want it administered with the VPN so that you are virtually invisible behind this box. Now, tomorrow, when I get ready to send up this podcast, I will use the PepWave, and it has very high data speeds. I can access towers when I have no signal on the phone, and it's amazing. And thank you, privacypost.io. For more info, click on their banner at the top of the page or visit privacypost.io. And remember, privacy is their product, not you. I've always had a thing for this state, ever since my best friend moved here in, well, I guess it was either at the end of sophomore year or the beginning, I don't remember. And then the year that I graduated, that summer, I worked in a carnival, and I'll never forget, I made enough money, and I remember laying it all out on my bed in ones and fives and tens and twenties, made enough to book a flight on American Airlines to Phoenix. And of course, at that time, Sky Harbor was one of those airports where you could park outside in front of the airport. There was no parking garages. There was none of the stuff that are there now, that's there now in terms of the size of the airport. You could park outside right next to the airport. There was, I remember, I think one little freeway. We went to Scottsdale and at Andy's house in Scottsdale, which he still lives in, you could drive right out of the driveway into the desert. And I think that I was most excited at the time because they had drive-up liquor stores, and we could buy Coors beer in those glass quart jars, and that was a big deal for me. At that time, I think Phoenix was Market 51. Now it is the seventh largest market in the United States. Bigger than St. Louis or Minneapolis or even Seattle, and certainly bigger than Market 46, I think, which is Kansas City. And a lot of people think of Kansas City as a big, you know, market because of the Chiefs and everything. But yeah, Phoenix is seventh. So Kansas City is where Phoenix used to be. Not too long ago. And of course, today you can't drive out of the driveway in Scottsdale and into the desert. And most people don't have horses. At the time, I remember every other house had horses there. And what was a cow town, basically old Scottsdale, is today a bunch of high-end shops and very bougie. So what do you do? Well, you head out to the rural parts of the state. You head out to Page, you head out to the Navajo Nation, you head out to the Grand Canyon, Prescott, Jerome, Sedona, or even down to Quartzsite, or over to Tombstone, towns like Sierra Vista, The border town of Douglas, not that you'd want to visit, but it's an interesting, I remember, you know, I was just in Douglas and I thought, boy, I've been here before. And I realized that was part of the trip that I took where I went along the southern border all the way from Brownsville over to San Diego, which wasn't too long ago. Or is it Gila Bend or Gila Bend? I think it's Gila Bend. I never get that right, but I'm not from Arizona, so I'm not supposed to. And if you're looking for the feel of Arizona, the Old West that everybody talks about, there was this place that we went to when I came down here after I graduated high school. And it was one of these outdoor places that was kind of a chuck wagon barbecue place. And I asked my friend Andy, whatever happened to that place? Because it was super cool. They had a huge bonfire and then you got steaks and ribs and beer and things of that nature, baked potatoes. And I remember we went there. I had no idea where it was. And he was like, now there's like a gated community up there that was far too valuable in terms of land than to have some kind of chuck wagon restaurant. But it's gone. And there's a lot of places like that in Arizona. But if you go out on certain roads, 90 east or west, you will find something like the Geronimo Monument, which is where Geronimo surrendered in 1886, which put an end to all of the so-called Indian wars in the United States. And remember that Arizona, I don't think, became a state until something like 1914. So the development out west, in particular in Arizona and Nevada and parts of New Mexico, and even parts of California, really didn't even get started until probably the 1950s. And if you came here in the 1950s, it was still very, very much remote. And remember, Phoenix was a small town. Tucson was a small town. And today these are, Tucson and Phoenix are actually almost growing together with Casa Grande kind of in the middle. So around these big cities, it feels very much like big Western cities. You have to get way out in order to get that Old West flavor. The southern deserts are obviously warm right now, which makes me happy. I'll take anything. I'll take Douglas in this kind of weather. And, you know, the searing heat is gone for now in terms of the heat of the summer. And you've got snowbirds and the RV people showing up in Quartzsite already. There are, the nomads and the RV people, depending on what campsite you're in. And people are starting to show up. And these BLM campsites and so forth are starting to get populated with people as they come down to escape the colder weather up in the mountains, like in the Coronado National Forest, or even further up Sedona and Flagstaff and Payson and up on the rim. And of course, the Grand Canyon and Page is a little cooler now than it was. And so it's people are coming down further south in order to enjoy 90 degree and 85 degree sunshine. And my experience last year was, and I was at Quartzsite in January, my experience last year was that it was actually rather cold in January, and you might get up to 60. So you were wearing a coat and everything, but at least it wasn't 14 below zero like it was up north. And I am told, and I don't know whether to believe it or not, but I am told that we here out west probably going to have a warmer than normal winter. So I think Thanksgiving will essentially tell the story. But I would rather be here. Also, in southwestern Arizona, you got the refugees from California's high fuel prices, and me on a little spit of gravel in the desert, which to me is heaven. So in the second half of this podcast, podcast 1026, I want to talk about why I am wearing out Arizona. So we'll get to that. With all this travel, once again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the donations at the BobDavisPodcast.com. Caleb just sent me $100. Katie just sent me $200. That is amazing. So if you want to make a donation to the Bob Davis Podcast, go to thebobdavispodcast.com. Click on the little yellow donate button right next to the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. And you can that takes you to PayPal, and you can send me whatever you want. And I appreciate whatever you send. Also, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, liking and sharing. Comments, not so much. I don't need those. I need people to like and share on social media. And also, thanks for your donations again at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, what would be a Bob Davis Podcast without talking about the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis? So they are into the community, they support the community, but they're also out to make sure that you get a great deal on fuel, and they have a great selection of locally sourced products in the store. And this is the special sauce at 36 Lynn. So great coffee, burritos, they've even got local honey. Remember, 36 and Lynn, next time you're going through South Minneapolis, you need gas or a cup of coffee. For more info and great 36 Lynn events, check them out online at 36lynn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com and check them out on Instagram at 36lynn. Well, if you listen to the Inflation for Nomads podcast, in which I talked about how nomads are, I believe, pretty well positioned to handle inflation because we can move. So all things being equal, this would be a perfect time to be in California, but I'm not going to pay $6.99 a gallon for diesel fuel. And if you know what you're doing, we are able to figure out where we can get cheaper fuel and go there. We can move to campgrounds that we don't have to pay for and things of that nature. So we can control a little bit how much inflation we're exposed to, and therefore we can observe and orient ourselves to conditions as they are, rather than complaining about it or lamenting man's inhumanity to man. In other words, you're able to proactively deal with it. And I'll give you an example. Just the other day, now I'm in Quartzsite, so just the other day I came into town, and all of the RVers are taking their big Class A's and, fifth wheels and everything else to the truck stops to get fuel, and it's $4.15 for diesel. I don't know what the gas is. I don't pay too much attention. Gas is like $3.60 or $3.75 in Arizona, which isn't the cheapest across the nation. Certainly is cheaper in Tennessee and, I believe, in Minnesota right now. But they were just running off to the truck stops to get fuel. And I noticed that if you just went into Quartzsite a little bit, now Quartzsite is not a big town. It's more like a mixture of low-slung buildings and tents and things like that. There's a Chevron down the street, from all of the truck stops that was selling diesel for $3.83 or $3.81. So you saved almost 40 cents, 30 cents or something like that on the diesel fuel if you went to the Chevron. And this is diesel too, as opposed to the truck stops. So as I said in that inflation podcast, there are essentially two big cost centers for the nomad. And that is fuel, obviously food, but fuel and campgrounds. Campgrounds can get very expensive. I won't even go to one of those RV parks because they're $40 a night or $50 a night in season. They're even more. I don't know what they are here in town. I don't want to know, because you can come out to, either dispersed camping in the National Forest, which is what I did up at the Coronado National Forest just this last weekend. So I had 2 days in a beautiful forest, and it didn't pay a cent. And then I came down here to Quartzsite, which is a considerable distance, so I had to pay for fuel. But now I'm here, and I'll be here for at least a week or two in Quartzsite, so I don't have to pay for camping. And of course, I'm not going anywhere. And so BLM, cheaper national forests, or dispersed camping, Walmarts and truck stops are essentially free. Boondocking is the order of the day because you don't hook up to electric. Now, pursuant to that, I just bought 120 watts of solar. And of course, out here, there's no trees, no obstructions to sunshine. And I was able to fully charge the batteries to 13.8 volts, within 2 or 3 hours of hooking up the solar, and then just let it trickle charge the batteries all day. So solar is working great for me, and I bought this because it's cheaper than a generator, and I bought it because I'm testing it, and if it meets my requirements, then that's going to go on. I'm going to, you know, add a bunch more up on top of the truck, because it solves your electric problem, and you don't have to worry about hooking up, and you don't have to worry about running your truck to generate power and things of that nature. So it's things like this that really, really help in terms of being able to really just have time to last to get through this. The other thing is, driving less means staying in a state or region longer. So if in the last year I got to know the country, a little bit of wind out here, now I'm getting to know the states individually, you know, a lot better to a lesser extent. Obviously Arizona, Nevada, California, when I can go there, Oregon, New Mexico, these western states, which are so large, you can spend so much time. And Arizona, like many states, you know, I'm from Minnesota or Illinois. Illinois is a completely different experience at the top of the state versus at the bottom of the state. You know, Arizona, same thing. If you're up in the Navajo Nation and you come down to Quartzsite or further south, you know, you're in the border region. It's a whole different thing. And same goes for Minnesota. You know, the top of the state of Minnesota is a whole different experience than the southern part of the state in so many, many, many ways. And I love getting to know individual states. So after I do the individual state thing where I get to know individual states for a year, you know, it's pretty cool because I'll have more in-depth knowledge of states. And of course, you know, I can't get enough of Arizona. So that's why I say I'm wearing out Arizona. And instead of getting to know all these different parts of the country, like Vermont and Maine, I'm spending more time in individual states. So the highways, the nooks and crannies, the cool towns, the truck stops, which ones are busy, which ones aren't busy, the Walmarts, the groceries. Gila Bend was a great example. You hear all this talk about shortages these days. Now, I'm far up at this campsite in Quartzsite, outside of town, about six to eight miles maybe, and the county has opened up all of these areas. They're like BLM, and you don't pay. It's just gravel fields, but it's a lot cleaner and nicer than the one in town. But semi-trucks run by here constantly. I went to this grocery store in Gila Bend, the only grocery store there that I could see. It was the IGA, and it was packed with every kind of good that you could think. You know, the fuel is cheap, and towns like Sierra Vista and the military base. So I have this theory about fuel prices on military bases, and I don't know if it's true, but I did notice this, and I think it's the Pima Air Force Base. So if there's gas stations near the base, you will see fuel 20 cents or 25 cents cheaper, and I think it's because the military tells the county, you know, we aren't going to put up with high taxes right across from the military base, because we have to take care of our guys. So I was real happy to see that in Sierra Vista. So, you know, I'm happy to wear out Arizona. And I'll tell you what, aside from things like Walmart and Love's parking lots, and you know how much I love these truck stop parking lots, it's funny because I developed kind of an affinity for Walmarts. And now I've kind of transferred that affinity to truck stops. I just love the action in the truck stops. I think it's great. But I really like these campgrounds that are so quiet, or the campgrounds in Quartzsite, whether it's in the Coronado, whether it's in northern Arizona, eastern Arizona. The most recent campground was actually there last Christmas. I spent Christmas Day in this campground. And it's Stewart Campground in the Coronado National Forest, and I thought, I'll just go to the same one. And you have to go into New Mexico to get to Portal, which is right there, and then you drive probably another 18 miles to get up into the National Forest. So you go from about 500 feet almost sea level, all the way up to about 6,000 feet. And I couldn't get into any of those campgrounds, so I kept going, went up a dirt road about 2 or 3, 4 miles, and there was all this dispersed camping. So I went down and, you know, it's free because it's dispersed camping, and had a fabulous campfire, 2 days. There was a little campground right next to mine, another campsite, and somebody had put a tree over the road, so these people were trying to get in, and I pulled the tree out of the way, and they came in, great couple, and they had a really cool, their rig was one of these Treks. It was a 96 Ram, and we just talked rigs and just stuff in general, and we had a great time, and that was a great experience. So what I'm doing now is just going around to these different places and spending a little time in each state, and you find yourself traversing these places that you know you've been to before, but you weren't sure. I'd never been to Gila Bend, so that was a cool experience. That's just another one of these cow towns. Hopefully it will never get super developed because there's a certain character to these places. This place, this IGA I went to Sunday, you know, here's Sunday afternoon, it was like drive time at this IGA because this is a working town and everybody had the day off on Sunday and they were in the IGA just buying stuff. And I told the kid at the counter, you know, you got a great store here. This place is really rocking. And, you know, he didn't really say anything, but it was really cool to see, you know, to visit a town like that in the middle of the day on a Sunday. And of course, you know, you don't have that experience if you're on the interstates. If you're driving on 10, and this is right off the 10, but this is where I got on the 10 to come back. So here's what I did. I was trying to avoid Phoenix and Tucson. So I came from the southeastern part of the state, came over on 90, went up to Sierra, I forget the name of the town, Sierra something, and Sierra Vista, and then hopped on the 10, and then came on the 10 to the 8, and then the 8 back up to the 10. And then the 10 from Gila Bend right out to Quartzsite. And Gila Bend, you wouldn't stop. Like, you wouldn't get off the highway at Gila Bend, even to get fuel, probably. And if you did, you would never go into Gila Bend. And there's really nothing. It's just another one of these cow towns. And there's a few of them out west. And I'm kind of searching for the Old West, you know, the whole Old Western experience. Of sort of this outpost or territory or frontier, which is what Arizona was pretty late, like the 1920s and the 1930s and 40s. And it really didn't start developing until the 1950s, 60s, and really the 70s and early 80s is when Phoenix and Tucson started to really grow. So, and I don't know the full history of the state of Arizona. I'll probably know more later, but it is fascinating for me to see these places that aren't pretentious. They don't have fudge stores. You know, they don't have the turquoise jewelry art with the women in the black sweaters with all the, you know, the rich ladies that are super thin and have, you know, all of the rich jewelry from Bougie, Sedona, and so forth and so on, because everybody's working. They're all farmers or they're, I suppose, some kind of cattlemen, or they're working at some kind of industrial jobs. So those are the kind of places that I get a big kick out of in seeing the real potential and the real vibrance, even though some people don't think there's vibrance. I don't mean vibrance as in some kind of booming economy. I mean vibrance in terms of potential and what this country could be or can be, and where the human potential is. And it's all over the place. You see it all over the place if you have the eyes to see it. It doesn't mean that we don't have problems or that there aren't issues. We always have problems and always have issues, but people forget what a great country this is, and I can't say that enough. And oh, look, there's another semi full of goods headed south to Route 10. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I've just learned of a couple other campsites. Oh, yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing. The cool thing is with this kind of travel, I just ran into somebody that I knew back in Minnesota like 10 years ago, and they were like, Bob Davis, my wife knows you. And then these were good friends. So it was really cool to just run into people at Quartzsite, either that you know from Quartzsite, or people that you know from different parts of the country. And that's a great feeling. So you guys know how important it is to move. You know, we spend a lot of time as nomads driving. And I know many of us hike, but sometimes hiking isn't enough. I just did yoga for over an hour this afternoon in the sun out here in the desert, which was great. But if you don't have the opportunity to do that, you need BU Enterprises. These days, again, you know you got to move. So I'm going to introduce you to BU because they give you a powerful toolbox to help you be your best self right where you are all day long. So if you're working at home, you can be grounded, you can be centered, you can be calm, you can be stronger, you can be free, and you can be you. And you can get the toolbox for you or your whole team. There's a discount code for the Bob Davis podcast by simply going to BU Enterprises. And enter Bob, and that's a discount code for packages, 20% off. So visit buenterprises.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com. And remember, the discount code is Bob, B-O-B. Finally, you know, I have to mention, I hear all this stuff about people waiting for containers. And if you get stuff manufactured in the United States, you don't have to wait for a container, right? And so if you're looking at manufacturing anything in the U.S., think about Depot Star, American Manufacturing Engineering and Design. Depot Star. Visit their website at depotstar.com. As I said, I'll be hanging out in Arizona for a little bit longer and learning more about this, what do they call it, the Grand Canyon State. And it is an amazing place, Arizona. So thanks for joining me for Podcast 1026, Wearing Out Arizona, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Bye-bye.
Make note of all good wishes. Say goodbye to the landlord for me. Sons of bitches always bore me. Throw out those LA papers. Moldy box of vanilla wafers. Adios to all this concrete. Gonna get me some dirt road back streets.